Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't even want to know. Kids. Yeah. Kids keep me grounded, keep me awake and not think about football.
You got to really force yourself to do that? I mean, you said that we don't even want to know. I feel like there's more to this.
More to what? I mean, just relax. You got to take your mind away from football. You know, when you come in this building, it's football from the time you walk in here to the time you leave out. And then you can't take it home, because if you take it home, now the house all messed up and everybody's sad. And I ain't for that.
Do you talk to the rookies like Rome and Caleb about dealing with this? Because they haven't done that in their careers.
Nah, I haven't talked too much to them about losing. I don't want to be talking to them about losing from here on out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's our guy. That's DJ Moore, the Bears wide receiver. And he was asked about the stuff Caleb said, that he's talked to players in the locker room. And so DJ was asked about trying to deal with losing, and he said he gets to go home, and he's got kids, and we hear him sometimes in the morning.
Yeah, we do.
He's talking to us.
And that's understandable.
Sure it is.
You got to try to separate, compartmentalize, and have a good work-life balance. Easier said than done. Mully, but I think that when you're looking at this from a football perspective, it's very troubling. And it also is indicative of what's become a losing culture at Hallis Hall.
No question.
And Mark Potash does a great job, and he's got the details and all the numbers. But last week in his first and 10, which is must read every week, he has the Bears players. There are six of them that have played five or more NFL seasons without being on a winning team. DeMarcus Walker, 8 seasons. DJ Moore, 7. Andrew Billings, 7. Montez Sweat, 6. Jalen Johnson, 5. Cole Kmet, 5. They have losing records. And from 38-62 with DeMarcus Walker to 28-52 with Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet, it's a lot of losing from a lot of guys who are in leadership roles on this team. And so, yeah, Caleb Williams has plenty of people to choose from if he wants to know how to get through a losing streak. But what does that get you when you're trying to create a winning atmosphere? I don't know.
It's a really good question. I don't believe you need to discuss. Let me just say this. You know, we all know how teams are put together. And there are a lot of different skills that you need to get to a football team. You need guys that can block, and you need guys that can run, and you need guys that can catch, and you need guys that can throw, and you need guys that can defend, and you need guys that have speed and can play in space. And I mean, we could sit here and list off what you need.
Yes.
But the problem is getting to a point where everyone understands how those skills lead to winning. And I know
I agree
with
that.
So basic.
No, it's not so basic, but that's what's lacking. That's why when we talk about this, and we referenced it last week in passing, but when they attack the roster, and it's going to be likely with the same general manager, and this is all related to the Ryan Poles conversation, when they attack the next roster for the Bears, I would want somebody seeking players who have winning traits, who have winning histories,
yeah,
who have the kind of things that you don't currently have on your roster, because those people know how to win, right? Those people have winning or have exposure to winning that you don't currently have.
You know, this comes down to coaches too. This comes down a lot to coaches.
There
are winning coaches.
Yeah.
There are people that have learned, a secret, that have a belief in a skill or a system or a way of getting people to win. And it's not as complicated as you might think. I think that a winning culture is having someone who understands, hey, you know what? If you're going to win, you can't do that.
Right.
You've got to do this. You can't say that.
You can't practice that way.
You can't. No, you got to pay attention in this moment.
And so, like, the two things that bother me the most when we talk about losing culture, and I think it sounds like it's piling on, but it's very consistent because, let's face it, 11 of the last 12 seasons, the Bears have lost more than they've won. So it permeates everything you do and everything you say about this franchise. But the two things that bother me the most that I think are most like consistent about this losing sort of mentality, they take credit for adversity they create. And the second one is they celebrate success before they've achieved it.
That's also huge.
And those are two byproducts of a losing culture.
That is what you are dealing with up there.
And a losing mindset.
And unfortunately, for years, they have claimed to have a winning culture despite no evidence of it, despite not winning. You know, did we get the quarterback right? No. But what? But people, we're the envy of teams. They'd love to have our culture. No one wants to be you. Nobody wants to be a loser.
It's systemic, though. And you're right. Whether that was a Ted Phillips reference, he was replaced. And now Kevin Warren is in the midst of making a decision. He's at a crossroads career-wise, I believe. You know, it's easy to say that for somebody who's had this type of success he has had. Nobody's going to diminish that. As an executive, he was a Big Ten commissioner. Now he's a president of the Bears. But from a directional standpoint, with the state of this franchise, this is an offseason where he's at a crossroads. What he does with his general manager, what coach that he finds as he leads this charge. You know, he works for a man, a family, an organization that is very non-confrontational, that is most concerned with people getting along at the workplace. That's not how you build a winning football organization. That's how you run a business that is a non-football business. Football's different.
Sports are different. The idea that you want to be comfortable in your job and you don't want anyone confronting you, and you don't want anything uncomfortable to go on at work, and you want to win a sporting event, which is a zero-sum game. Everybody comes in, everybody is a part of it, and only one team can win. At the end of the year, there is one champion left standing, and everyone else is an also-ran. And I'll tell you what, is it more comfortable to not have confrontation, to not feel... You can collect the check, you can make money, but if you want to actually win, if if you want to actually be the last man standing, it takes a hell of a lot more of a singular focus from all the people involved than what we've seen here in Chicago. And that's with a lot of teams, frankly.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of losing here. It's been a lot of losing in 2024. Yeah. There's a lot more losing to come. The best question of the text line all morning long was, which team has had the most disappointing year?
Yeah.
And let's compare.
Let's see. You know, you had the worst season in baseball history, but you kind of thought that might
be coming. Kind of like the cumulative effect.
Yeah, that was on the way.
It's only numbers.
Yeah.
There were no expectations.
You had a team that paid for the best manager in baseball, but it didn't translate into a winning season.
That was arguably more disappointing than the White Sox season based on expectations.
Well, I mean, the White Sox were pretty disappointing.
I know, but the Cubs were 83 wins. They ran in place, and they paid for a playoff spot.
You got the first overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You got a chance to resolve the greatest issue facing the team. You had a chance to hire the people that could work with the guy. That's a huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Period, end of story. The Bears, this 2024 season, the way that you've stacked these losses, the way you've lost the games, and now it's almost like those were the good old days when you lost close games in horrific fashion. Now you just get beaten. We'll see what happens tonight.
After last Sunday in San Francisco, you would have probably preferred to be beaten on the final play of the game. Because you were beaten on the first play of the game and you never recovered. Then you were beaten again. Then you were beaten again. And you were beaten into submission.
Yeah. You were just beaten.
You were just overwhelmed and dominated. And that's not good either.
The Blackhawks, hey, we're rebuilding. We're going to have to take some lumps. We're going to take our lumps. Look, we got this one great player. What are you going to do with him?
It's been less painful, but no less productive.
Yeah.
No more productive.
The Bulls, I mean,
The Bulls are kind of there. They're more entertaining.
You know, theoretically, we had a great team.
The Bulls are the most fun to watch.
They are right now.
I say because their games are entertaining. Their coach is definitely intelligent, and he brings an element of you learn something when you hear from Billy
Donovan.
Couldn't
the Cubs be the most fun to watch moving forward?
Well, moving forward. Yeah, I'm just saying, they got Kyle Tucker.
Shouldn't this be a fun season?
They got K Tuck. Yes.
They got K Tuck.
I think he's.
And
does he have a nickname?
Sox got K Teal.
Well, that's exciting, too. I hope that K Tuck has a better season than K Teal.
I hope K Teal has a good season.
I hope he has a good season, but not as good as K Tuck.
What if he was better than K Tuck?
Kyle Tucker better be the best player in Chicago the way that he is purported to be right now.
The only chance the Sox have to win, rather than lose 100 games, would be K Teal being the best player in town.
Yeah, if that
because
happens.
Because K-Tuck is going to be real good.
Yes. Kyle Tucker, if everything happens the way it has happened so far in his young career, as we have seen in Houston, he's going to be somebody that is a big reason why the Cubs are in contention.
I still can't get over that the Sox could win 20 games more than they did a year ago and still lose 100.
Wildly successful.
Isn't that insane?
That'd be a wildly successful improvement.
How could you improve that much and still be among the worst teams?
You could lose 100 games and still feel like, oh boy, we improved considerably.
Will you? Is that how you're going to take it if they lose?
No. I think they got the PES EI test.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of that going to be a lot of that going on because the Sox will be young at every position except for right field, left. Their outfield. Their outfield will have veterans. Their starting outfield will have veterans.
Yeah.
Their infield will be a mixture.
Benintendi.
Robert.
Robert and Tauchman, right?
Yeah. And
pretty good.
Benintendi finished strong.
And Cuban Otani.
No, I don't know where he is.
No?
I don't know where Oscar Colas is.
He's at your fourth outfield.
Is that...
He's around.
Is he still in the organization?
Still in the organization.
So he was protected on the Rule 5?
I believe he was.
That's a baffling one. We should ask, if we had more time with Chris Guest, we should ask him about that next time. Maybe at the Sox Fest. The Sox Fest, like 48 people are gathering in Bridgeport.
Is it Sox Fest or is it more just for the season ticket holders?
Well, it's called Sox Fest, okay. I think.
I'm just wondering if I can get in.
You just wonder if you're invited.
I don't know if I'm welcome to the party.
Well, we're going to ask, whenever we get another shot at Chris Getz, we need to ask her about Oscar Colas, so maybe somebody can help us. We have a lot of Sox people Colas, that listen.
Colas lives.
Does he?
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think he's lost all the support of the organization, but I think he's still
lost
around.
All the fizz.
Well,
in the Colas.
Yeah. Burgers out of town.
No, well, burgers in Texas.
Fry. What a bummer.
A lot of great names. The Sox have delivered some names. I mean, yes. But Fry's still here. He still can cook up some success. Recipe's still there.
Uh-huh.
Fry's still there.
I love we have a texter checking in, King Tuck.
Nice. I like that.
There you go.
Would they call him that in Houston?
I don't know.
King Tuck.
King Tuck.
Could you imagine if that was like his walk-up music?
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
That would be great.
Walk like an Egyptian.
What kind of sense of humor, I wonder, Kyle Tucker has. I wonder how good of... We heard from Jeff Blum said that he was maybe not the greatest interview, maybe. Or maybe not the he didn't put
well,
it.
Well, then why
terms.
Why sign it?
Just maybe a little bit, just reserved.
Just hit the ball. That's okay. Don't hit the ball. Don't strike out. Get to keep those walks going.
Yeah,
play hit Gold Glove right field. That's it.
That's
35, 40 homers.
Just do what he's been doing for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all.
Win.
Very quietly. I mean, people. You know, on Friday, I felt like there were some people that celebrated that as a star has arrived.
Yeah.
That's the star they were looking for. And others were like, he's not a star. Yes, he's a star.
Oh, he's a star.
He's a star.
He's a good player.
Look
That's
at the numbers.
He's a really good player.
He's young.
How old is he?
27, I believe.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Heading into your big contract year.
Yeah.
I really think that's undersold. I think he wants to be paid top dollar. So he comes in. He's not interested in any kind of extension. He doesn't want to do it. Wants to eventually get to free agency. You know what that means? Means he's going to have a superstar year to be paid like a superstar.
Yep.
And that is why he will be worth whatever they gave up for him.
He will be 28 in January. And if he has that kind of year,
that was your biggest year when you were 28. Wasn't that when it all came together?
I don't think so.
No, that we're in the wrong aspect of life.
Yeah.
Our best years are coming, right?
Okay.
As we age and the wisdom, David.
Wisdom.
Oh, the wisdom.
Speaking of, did you see Patrick Wisdom signed a contract to play in Korea next year?
Yes, he's going to be on the Sox the year after. Don't they sign the best player in Korea?
And the Eric Fetty deal?
Once. Why not?
Then they're going to trade him for a bag of balls?
Yeah. They'll sign him. They'll bring him in. He'll wow everyone. And
that's good for Patrick Wisdom,
trade
though.
Him for nothing.
Getting
really?
Some... Well,
I mean, do you want to go cover the Korean League?
No.
If that were offered to you,
no.
Would you be like, yes?
I would not.
Okay.
I would not, but I don't.
I wonder what he thinks of it.
Do you think
he'd rather be in the major leagues.
Yeah, but he could have probably caught on somewhere on a minor league invite to spring training.
I don't know what his career earnings are. I don't know. What if he felt that he was, going to get more money by playing in Korea? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Cubs needed to move on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not blaming the Cubs. I'm just saying from his perspective, why, is that the best thing? Is that the best gig he could get, or did he always want to play there and want to achieve something?
Very interesting times for the Cubs. Yeah. Jed Hoyer. Makes a big move on Friday. He's got a couple other moves he could make. They're waiting on the Cody Bellinger situation to be resolved. There seems to be an acceptance level that he's going to be on the Yankees or going to work something out. If not, the Giants would be interested. I don't like that, but let's see what the lineup looks like once they get everybody where they, are going to
They've got,
start
they're
spring
off to
training.
A good start.
They're off to
there's
a very
no,
good start.
There's no shadow of a doubt about that. And I think that eventually – that all these questions will be answered and we'll get a feel for how they're going to look.
I kind of want them answered now.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. Okay. I don't blame you.
I want to figure out what closer is going to get the ball in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
They better get one this year. We had a texter suggest Ben Brown as the closer. He's got to come back healthy, and he's got to be able to throw the ball. All these things. Health is such a big part of the Cubs' demise last year. All those blown saves.
How many? 25 blown saves?
26 blown saves.
26?
Yeah.
Man.
Just cut that in half. It's a different conversation.
How did Dustin allow that to happen on his watch?
A lot of podcasting.
Yeah.
A lot of emergency podcasts.
He did a lot of, why couldn't you impact that in any way? Do you feel responsible?
Are you making fun of the podcast again? Is that where?
No, why would I make fun of the podcast? I love the podcast.
We could rewind from to Friday.
What happened on Friday?
Fly the something.
You called it the wrong
down.
Name.
No,
I did. You called it the wrong name. Yeah, you did.
Never purposely.
Never. It's the Fly the W podcast.
That's
it's
what I
very
said.
Good.
It'll
for
be out
Cubs
later
fans.
This afternoon with all of our thoughts on the trading of King.
King Tuck?
King, the new King. King of right field.
Like it. All right, buddy. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Brian Baldinger. We've got Baldy. We've got our
Week in review. Yeah,
coming up.
It's been quite a week.
A lot to get to. The week has just started, but this goes back to last week, too. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Let's have a bear meeting here.
I want to. Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
Look at the elite catch here of Roma Dunze. Look at this left foot, right foot tap right here. Bam. Get them both in bounds right there. I mean, that's a great catch against good coverage. Great throw by Caleb.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. It's Mully and Haw, and Brian joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's good to be with you. You know, it's Breakdown Monday, so I'm just getting after it here out in Los Angeles. It's pretty good.
Well, that's the good of you to get up to join us from L.A. That's a couple hours later than here. I'm just curious, when you look at this Monday night game and the Bears going up to Minnesota, they actually played Minnesota pretty well, lost in overtime because they do lose. But after getting blown out in San Francisco, this looks like a tougher game, if that makes sense.
It is a tougher game. It is. I mean, first of all, you're not going to deal with the elements for both teams, but that was a problem, seemingly. But, you know, you can't fall behind 24-0, and they've done that, not to that degree, but they've fallen behind a lot in these games. It seems like the second half they regroup and they come out and they play really good football, and that's what they did against San Francisco. You just can't wait around against Minnesota. This is an impossible team, practically, to play from behind. I've seen the last 2 weeks, I've seen them against the Cardinals and Falcons, and both teams fell behind. And, well, I mean, they actually, against Arizona, it was pretty even all the way through. But against last week against Atlanta fell behind, and all they did was try to throw it, got out of their game plan, and it falls right into their hands if you try to throw it every down. I mean, they lead the league in interceptions, takeaways. I'm not sure after Sunday if they still do. Pittsburgh had one. But they're up there at the top of the charts, and sacks and splash plays, all that stuff happens when they've got the lead and teams are trying to catch up. So it's paramount to not do like what they did in San Francisco a week ago Thursday.
So, Brian, Braxton Jones is out with a concussion. The Bears' offensive line will be forced to maybe turn to rookie third-round draft pick Kerryon Amagaji is an option. I guess Larry Borum would be another one. Knowing that and knowing what the Viking defense is capable of, How many sacks do you think tonight Caleb Williams will suffer?
Well, San Francisco had 7, and that's the most they've had all year. And really, Minnesota is much better than San Francisco up front. I mean, he's going to see Jonathan Greenard a lot. This guy is – people don't talk about him. He is a great pass rusher. He's serious. He's focused. He's got an array of moves. They better have a plan to chip, slide, you name it. They've got to keep a separate set of eyes on 58. And while you're doing that, Andrew Van Ginkel, at one time, he was a serious candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. And they come after you in so many different ways, but – Greenard over there on the left tackle is a matchup to watch tonight.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't feel great about the Bears' chances in this game. I don't want to overstate what Matt Eberflus was able to do, but there is definitely, Eric Washington, God bless him, guy was here before, comes back. He is not as good a defensive coordinator as the fired coaches. It's just that simple, and it'll be very interesting to see what, if anything, he can kind of call up and help them against a really good offense where the quarterback's very hot, but they got a couple of world-class receivers, and you know the Bears managed to keep Jefferson in check, and that didn't do him any good in that game.
No, but you know this this Addison is some kind of player, and yep. T.J. Hockenson is back healthy now. Mm. There's a lot to defend. There's no question about it. And Sam Darnold is very mobile. I mean, if you don't account for him, he'll scramble, he'll run, he'll buy time. He threw a touchdown to Justin Jefferson last week against Atlanta. I mean, he navigated a pocket and got away from 3 guys and kept his eyes down the field. It was pretty impressive. But, you know, Sam is – like, they don't know what they're going to do yet with Sam next year. They don't have to make any decision at all right now. They're just playing it out. But, you know, I'm sure that they're very well, very motivated by the loss of Detroit. They played Detroit, in the final couple games here. They're motivated to win that division right now. Very motivated. And they have a chance to do it. So, I'm sure that – and this is their 3rd straight home game. I mean, that's a great atmosphere there. They haven't traveled in over a month, so they should be rested. They should get the very best of the Vikings tonight.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Brian, is Kevin O'Connell the coach of the year?
Well, I mean, there's a couple guys. I mean, you know, you can't count out Nick Sirianni right now, but Kevin O'Connell with a quarterback that nobody knew if he could be a real starter in this league to see how well he has played. Generally, and he's a play caller, and it's his offense, and they've got a shiny record. Still got to finish it out, but he's right at the very top of the list right now. We'll see what Washington does. You know, I mean, Dan Quinn's turned around a moribund franchise, and they play the Eagles at home this weekend. You know, if they win that game somehow, you got to consider Dan Quinn and how he's turning things around in Washington.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see, Brian Flores, for instance. You know, here's a guy that has a couple lawsuits going. The Bears, knowing their ownership, it'd be interesting if they even interviewed him for this job. But I don't know how you don't interview him. I don't know how you don't interview Vrabel. I'm kind of surprised they didn't want any part of Bill Belichick. I just think you ought to talk to people that might have an answer for your building, and I don't see the downside of that.
Well, most coaches that got a second opportunity that were good, they learned from their first opportunity.
Right.
You know, I mean, Bill Belichick had a first opportunity in Cleveland. I mean, you go through the list. You know, Mike Shanahan had a second opportunity. Most guys, good coaches, they learn from their first chance. Now, I was talking to Stephon Gilmore, the left corner for Vikings, and he played for Brian in New England. And he's completely evolved from his days when he was a defensive coordinator with Bill Belichick. And he's evolved from when he was with Mike Tomlin 2 years ago. I mean, what Stephon said is, if you give an offense – kind of the same defense, play in, play out, week in, week out, they're going to figure it out. And so they constantly are changing their fronts. They're constantly giving you different coverages. They're constantly disguising things up until the snap. And he started this in Miami, and he's carried it through now to Minnesota. And it is a conundrum for offensive linemen, for quarterbacks, for receivers to figure out.
Do you think he makes the Bears short list? What would you advise them to do if they are weighing their options between somebody who is an offensive coordinator looking for his first head coaching job, might be an innovator, versus the head coach with experience, the guy you just described, who might be a little bit more abrasive, but certainly more effective?
Well, I might kidnap him coming off the field tonight. You know? I might corral him right there and just take his temperature. I mean, I wouldn't waste much time. I talk to him because, look, you look at what teams are doing in the run game right now. You look at these offenses and what they're doing. You better have a strong defensive game plan to slow down some of these teams, Detroit, Buffalo, whatever. You better have a strong game plan. What the Rams are doing right now, what they're capable of doing. You got to have a strong game plan and a strong defensive mind, I believe, to play in today's game. You might want Kevin O'Connell as your offense coordinator, but you sure want Brian Flores running your defense. So it's a great combination in Minnesota right now. Maybe the best combination of offensive and defensive play callers in the league right now, and the record shows it.
You know, we talked a little bit about Braxton Jones missing this game with concussion syndromes, and the Bears currently have three players out on the active roster, the running back, Roshan Johnson, Ryan Bates, an offensive lineman, and now Braxton Jones, and they already lost safety Jaquan Brisker. He's on IR with the same injury. And, we were talking about it. I don't really recall having four players miss time with a concussion. And I think it's great that the NFL is aware of brain injuries and they're responding to this. But, Brian, do you remember that happening? Can you think of teams you were on where that many players were down at one time? And, I'm not saying that any of them aren't really injured, because I think there were probably a lot of people that tried to play through that injury in past years.
They did. They did. And I think guys are just more cautious now than they used to be. Obviously, at least it's some serious problems for some players, not all, but some players. And so I don't know. I mean, there is a protocol and, when you can practice, when you can play and all that. And so I'm sure the Bears are following all the protocols. You don't want to screw that up with a player. But, I mean, Tua came back this year and he's been playing. He missed, a month or so, but he came back, and that we've seen, multiple concussions from him. Everybody's different. Everybody's brain is different. Everybody reacts differently. Everybody returns differently. Some players have, multiple concussions with no future problems, and then some have it. So everybody is just different. It's every sample is different. But, the big thing is to get your head out of the play. I mean, there's certain tackling techniques that you can – that you can practice that can help. I've always been a big believer in strengthening the neck every day, all day, and wearing neck collars, because that's what we did back in the day. And if you got a strong, strong base at the neck, less chance of a whiplash when you hit somebody. So, I mean, there's things that I think all players can do to kind of take some measures to try to, help curb some of this, some of the issues.
Brian, the Bears are walking into US Bank Stadium tonight, staring at their eighth straight loss. And for that team, as we saw against the 49ers, they look like maybe they have conceded a lot and it wasn't their best effort. How challenging is that for Thomas Brown to appeal to his players to, with four games left, give them the kind of effort that is more professional, that you don't see? It's a mismatch. Everybody knows what's going on here, but how difficult is it to get the best out of the Bears tonight?
Well, that's what coaching is. I mean, it's not easy. And so we're going to find out a lot about Thomas Brown tonight. I've been in Minnesota the last two weekends calling games. That atmosphere rivals anything in the league. I mean, those fans are there. It's an unbelievable atmosphere. They got their decibel meter going, trying to break records. It's tough. It's tough on the offense. You've got to really lock in. If you're a rookie left tackle out of Yale and you've got Jonathan Grenard, breathing fire, and he's trying to win the sack title, I'm sure he is, probably have all kind of crazy bonuses for that. He's going to try to get his number against the rookies. And so you can't be laid off the ball, but at the same time, you can't be jumping. So it's a challenge for everybody, because that atmosphere is really, really good. San Francisco is different because of the rain, and that's an atmosphere and the weather. But this is a totally different setting tonight than what they played last week.
Brian, we'll let you go. I'm just wondering, do you think that the MVP conversation is over after seeing what Josh Allen did in Detroit, and he had a great game?
Well, I mean, I don't I can't think of anybody right now that is near Josh Allen. I mean, he counted for 6 touchdowns a week before. He just went into Detroit and beat the number one ranked offense in football and put up a big number. I can't think of anybody's resume that rivals. You say Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, but nobody's winning like Buffalo's winning and what he's doing. I mean, I think he's a runaway candidate with this.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian.
Yes. My pleasure, guys. You bet. Talk to you next week.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
You know, he's talking about Jonathan Greener, the mismatch on the left tackle. He's got 10 sacks, and he's had a terrific year. And it will be interesting if it is Kerryon Amagaji because of this. Jonathan Greener at one point was a third-round draft pick. He'd be going against a third-round draft pick. You can develop third-round draft picks. You don't have to. They don't have to be misses. And this is a good example of a guy that turns into a difference maker drafted in the third round.
Can you do that without any kind of preseason, without any kind of – can you do it in season, David?
I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that Kerryon Amagaji is going to fill you with anything but fear and anxiety if you see him lining up tonight. But you don't have any better choices. And if you are a team, this is developmental time. You got to play him.
Are you sure there are no better choices?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm not saying that there are. I'm just
asking you. Why are you putting this on me?
I'm blaming you.
Why are you putting it on me?
If anything goes awry. All right. We got the week in review. Let's take a listen to what people think of tonight's game.
Mullen Haw got you ready for Bears Week 15 matchup against the Minnesota Vikings with experts analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
And guess what, guys? We are running the damn ball with these guys. I would do something drastic like that and just say, buckle up, because here we come. Brian Flores, let them adjust to that.
Bolin Krutz.
Finally the damn bro. Finally they got to take a good look. They're going to go up there. They're going to go into a closet. They're going to dust off Matt Nagy's mirror, and they're all going to look in it.
Chicago Bear wide receiver DJ Moore.
Hey, I think everybody knows we got to keep it together. At the end of the day, we get to go out there these next 4 Sundays and put on a show and try to win. You know, it's hard to win in this league, but everybody loves winning attitude and winning feeling.
Jared Payton.
The Bears have to find ways to get things going early, because they are not a team that can play from behind. They have to, if they're going to have a chance to win, they got to get a lead.
Joe Ostrowski.
They have the updated win total at 5.5 juice to the under. So the betting market is basically saying, all right, we think the Bears will win one more game. It's just good luck figuring out what that game is.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Wiederer.
You've got an opponent now. It's going to be fun to watch Caleb try to prepare for an opponent for the second time. And he obviously had success the first game they played against the Vikings. They found some answers to the things that Brian Flores throws at you. So you have a little bit of confidence there that your offense can respond. Here they are now in last place by 5 games in the NFC North, while a team that was on an identical timeline is getting ready to play in the playoffs next month.
BetMGM Hawks great Chris Chelios.
I'm not betting against them, but I'm not going to bet on them.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales.
Caleb Williams over the last 3 games, you know, he's rocking a 100-plus passer rating and 7 passing touchdowns to no picks. I mean, so, you know, it's kind of interesting, you guys, because I would like to see him throw a couple picks.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
It opens 6.5. Minnesota's a favorite. It gets to 7. And you think to yourself, there's not going to be any value in Minnesota, right? Everyone knows they're good. Everyone looks at the Bears. They think they stink. The only question you ask yourself is whether or not it's a good buy low opportunity on Chicago.
Mark Grody.
It is time to shake it up a little bit, do something differently, allow Caleb Williams to fling it down the field early, for crying out loud. But I'm really more worried about, again, and I hate that I'm saying this, and we've been justifiably saying it in the previous 2 games, I'm just worried about the Bears' defense.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Brad Biggs.
I don't know how they keep this game super close. I picked Minnesota 34-21, and that was before I heard about the Braxton Jones news. I think they could be in for a rough one tonight.
Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger.
It is a tougher game. It is. I mean, first of all, you're not going to deal with the elements for both teams, but that was a problem, seemingly. But, you know, you can't fall behind 24-0, and they've done that, not to that degree, but they've fallen behind a lot in these games. So it's paramount to not do like what they did in San Francisco a week ago Thursday.
Can the Bears win against the Minnesota Vikings? Mullin Haw and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.